CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, people of Earth. Yes, from, wow, I should start this like a Stuyvesant ad, because with Bulelo traveling the country and doing this from the Otter Trail, it kind of makes it sexy and exciting. So, from our studios in Johannesburg to the various houses of various people and places that are exotic and interesting, all the way to the Tsitsikamma Forest, where the mists rise from the trees and people run because nothing is chasing them. It is the Gareth Cliff Show this morning. Let's get cracking. We have lots to do. All right, so Bulelo, as I said, is in the forest where he belongs. Leanne Moll is in her house where she belongs.
Yes.
And I am in my house.
Everyone's in their place.
Everyone's in their place. This is perfect for someone with OCD like me, because everything has a place and there's a place for everything. God, I was, you know, I get judgy. We'll catch up with Bulelo in a second, and I'll tell you what else is on the menu for today. But I get so judgy of people. I saw somebody's desktop on their computer. You know that your kind of your page, the background, the icons, what's going on your screen.
Yes.
I was looking at someone's desktop the other day on their computer, and I was horrified. It looked like such a disorganized, chaotic mess. There was so much going on there. There's no way that person knew what was happening.
So, this month, I can't remember which day of October, but it's towards the end of October, is actually Clean Up Your Digital Desktop Day.
Ah, voila.
And it was obviously started by someone akin to, you know, your
future,
way of thinking.
My future wife, that's who that started that. I'm telling you, if we track her down, we'll find out who I'm going to marry one day.
So there's something that my brother always freaks out about every time he has to look at my phone for some reason. And that's the number of messages I've got. So not WhatsApps, but just the normal messages.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, they're sitting at 300.
Oh, Jesus. You know, oh.
So that's when the little red icon's up.
I can't do it.
See. But those little red icons are all over my phone desktop.
We have two colleagues who I refuse to use their laptop because there's 94 tabs open on the internet, and then their desktops are an absolute mess.
Name and shame them. I want to know who, because I have an inkling who they are. So,
No, go ahead.
No, I went.
Have a guess.
Should I guess? All right.
Yeah.
Who has a dirty, disorganized desktop? I would say Dory.
Absolutely. That one you know.
I would say Greg.
No. Greg's the opposite.
Organized. Okay.
No, Greg is...
Because he's got so much going on, though, that I thought, well, not because he's disorganized, but because he's so busy. He would have 100 tabs open because every single one of them is important. Not like, you know...
No. Greg's the opposite. He gets as anxious as I do.
Let me eliminate it this way. It's not Spike.
No,
because he's
not
super organized. It's not Rena. She's actually quite tidy. Could be Simpiwe.
It definitely is Simpiwe. Yeah. And she's
you're naming and shaming Simpiwe again.
Yeah.
No, worry.
We got Dr. Hanan next Monday.
I'm not being horrible.
We'll get Dr. Hanan to mediate again between them.
I'm not being horrible, but it is that.
It's not horrible. It's just different strokes. I can't deal.
Yeah.
Part of the reason I live on my own, and part of the reason that if you mess with my chi, my balance, my order, right, and I can't stand you if you do that with me for too long. I'm one of those people that I can't compromise in that respect. I can't compromise. If you are... Even if it looks like you're disorganized, and you know, listen, the point with I'm sure if Simpiwe comes on, she'll tell us, like, screw you guys, because I know where everything is. I know
exactly
what's happening. She knows what's happening.
You know, between her and Dorry, then they're the ones that you're talking about. So they probably know exactly what's going on. I can't work like that, though. I'll lose my mind.
Yeah.
Like if I had to send you a picture of my real life actual furniture piece of desktop right now,
would it be?
It's crazy. But at any point, I know where everything is. It gets clean.
Do me a favor. After the show today, just take like a stand on a chair and then take a picture of your desktop from the top down.
Do you not just want me to turn my camera around?
Well, okay. I mean, if that'll work, let's just see. Let's just see what's going on over there.
Oh my God. Oh. No way.
It's a beautiful window, by the way. I didn't realize how that's very pretty. What the hell's going on there? What is that? Is that a tampon? What is that there on the left?
What is this?
Yeah. Oh, it's not a tampon.
It's an inhaler.
It's a big tampon.
A huge tampon. Like this one.
Yeah, that's huge. Jesus. I mean, that would be for a woman with a large vagina. All right, so
an enormous, it's not king-size oyster.
I was expecting worse. That's not the worst I've ever seen. It's really not the most terrible.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, it was last scrubbed up and cleaned on Tuesday, so it's not too bad.
But it brings me anxiety. It's anxiety inducing because you know I'm an extremist, so I always extrapolate what that means, and it's like.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you want to see me get unhappy is tardiness. Whoa.
Well,
I don't do it.
But tardiness means lateness, right? That bothers you. I know that bothers you.
Well, just the looseness. I don't like looseness. I don't like loose. I don't like loose people who are casual.
It's also the opposite of messiness is tardiness.
Let me show you how organized this is. Just
I got it.
All right, so are you ready?
Thanks,
here?
Look,
so this is mine. So here's my laptop. Okay, here's... this is the desk. You just try and get that in there. So there's an iPad all organized. On this side, there's a little tea tray. It's order. It's perfect order, right? There's no disorder in my immediate surrounding because I actually can't concentrate. I mean, you've all been in the studio with me, and you've seen how I'll even line up my papers and my. If I have a pen lying there, it's lying at the same angle as the paper. Nothing is perpendicular. Everything is parallel.
Yeah.
I can't concentrate if it isn't like that. And the same goes for what's on your desktop of your computer. So I'm so glad that this little rant of mine coincides with what digital cleanup day or whatever.
Yeah, digital desktop. I'll look at that and let you know.
Yeah. Well, you see, we're reading the tea leaves. That's what's happening there. Ah, Simpuem Tetwa says, there is nothing on my desktop, but I am guilty of having thousands of tabs open. That is our own Simpuem. See? I knew she'd stand up for herself. Good for you, Simpuem.
Good that, go, girl.
Sunmarie says, that's not so bad, Leanne, but yes, it's way too messy for me, too. And then let's turn our attention quick. A clean desk is the sign of a sick mind, says Alex. How dare you? How dare you? It's going to be unbelievable. We're all good for OCD Anonymous, says Wendy. Yeah, Wendy, you sound like you could be in the same club as me. It's a problem. And
here we go.
And
18th of October, clean your virtual desktop day.
Okay, so it's still coming up. Woo! We're 10 days early. I can spend the next 10 days getting it even cleaner.
So that when the day comes around, you're not guilty of anything.
Listen, everything here, even though it looks like it's set up to look pretty, everything here is functional, right?
Absolutely.
At arm's length, I've got a thing of pens, and they're all the same pen, but there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 12 pens that are exactly the same. I'll never run out of these pens. And they sit there, and I can use them. I've got paper over here. I've got the mixing desk on this side. I've got the Comrex that connects us to the studio. I've got today's show on the iPad in front of me, got my little camera, got the laptop here with everything going on. It's got to be organized, otherwise I lose my mind.
My builder saw all of my mismatched pens and pencils and things.
Yeah.
And he said, "Shoo, you don't trust your pens, eh?" but here we go. I can even tell you who set up or started or founded Virtual Desktop Day Cleanup Y'all.
All right.
Is the people at PCMuseum.ca. Oh. So it must be a Californian company.
Yes.
And they encourage people to sort out their desktops and return them to the pristine vision they received when they first booted up their computer. An orderly desktop has been said to be the sign of an orderly mind, someone who has their work together and knows what their tool is and what it's for and how to use
well,
it.
Well, the irony is if you go to PCMuseum.ca, it is Canada's number one personal computer museum. I didn't know there were more than one. And then it says, the previous site is being archived and its static version will be back online soon. So you can't even get, it's dead.
You see, they're so busy organizing things that they can't do live.
Yeah, exactly. They lost. It's hilarious. Oh, man. All right. So, Mbulelo, tell us what's been happening down there in the forest.
Not much. I mean, yesterday was kind of the race for sort of the middle sort of, I've got a job and I need to get out there and try and stay fit people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called the challenge, and they all finished behind me here. About 200 of them finished in 11 hours.
Yeah.
Then today is the qualifying for the apex creatures, the sort of the elite guys, and they race on Saturday. So they'll do something called the prologue, which I ran yesterday. So it's basically 3 kilometers. A mountain this size here, you basically just kind of run up through a forest for 3 kilometers to qualify, and then you stop that. Right. And then Saturday, it's the big dance, yeah. And they're trying to do it in 4 hours, which is insane.
What are you qualifying for? Hell.
It's a beautiful view, though, behind you. So it looks like they run in under that entrance arch thing.
Archway.
On a bridge. Yeah. And you're over the swamp or something. Is that a swamp or a river or what is it?
Yeah, so this bridge, I mean, I can quickly just take you here.
Yeah, you show us your
show and tell today.
Show us your desk.
This bridge moves, actually. And I don't know if you can see, but after about 41 and a half kilometers, there's a 10-meter beam here that they have to go across.
Yes.
Otherwise, they go into this freezing cold lake. Yeah. So it's not tough enough to run over a mountain for 42 Ks.
God damn.
So, yeah, no, it's... it is incredible here. Hey, I'll send you a video in the break, Gareth, which you can share with people. I mean, I was up on some of the most incredible trails yesterday. It's just been amazing. Hey, it's really, really amazing to be around super organized, super driven people. I love it. I haven't had the opportunity to be around them for a long time. So I'm in my element, as you said.
Sounds great.
And it's cooking.
Oh, I had such a nice time last night. I fell asleep in the rain, which is just my favorite thing.
Mm.
And I woke up this morning and I was hoping it would still be raining, but it seems to have stopped at some point in the night.
It's still raining for me.
Or is it still coming down where you are?
Yeah. I mean, I'm always careful when I praise how wonderful the rain is after a full night of storming.
Yeah.
But I just hope everyone's okay, because I know it's lashed many provinces. So let's see, as everyone wakes up this morning, what damage has been done.
Oh, really? Was it quite violent? Because here at my house,
it was
like a light drizzle the whole time.
No, there were warnings ahead of time to, I think, 4 provinces to say, listen, guys, there's going to be flash flooding, lightning storms, etc. So let's hope everyone's cool.
Cindy Les says, Bulelo is the Ilana Africa of trail running, as Ben said last week. I can't get over it. But it does, you do look like you're in your element there, actually. I haven't seen you this happy, and B says, happy Mbulelo. Yeah, you are. This is what you love, huh?
This is my life, yeah. I mean, if I could marry rich or win the lottery, I'd be something like this.
So,
and just, yeah, be in this.
Well, that's a bit of a middle finger to everybody who says all you do is complain and criticize, because you can see how much Mbulelo loves this. So it's really, it's true for anybody. Find what they care about and you'll see the best version of them.
That's an awesome saying.
Yeah.
That is an awesome saying. I haven't heard that one. That's So true. I'm just at peace in this place. It's awesome.
Yeah, you seem very relaxed and happy. Count Dracos, I love that name, also saying inspiring Mbulelo. Yeah, absolutely. That's true. So, all right, guys, a couple of things. First of all, I went for my first vaccination shot on Monday. I didn't make a big deal of it because it's not a big deal to me. It's just like, you know, now that we're off the red list, apparently that happened last night. We've been taken off the British red list. So all those South Africans who are itching, who are desperate to go to grey, cold London just in time for winter. Lucky, lucky you. Get your tickets. Line up and get your tickets. South Africans everywhere are like, oh, can't wait to go to London. So excited for you. So now you can go. But I went and got mine on Monday because I felt I needed to be ready in case travel opened up. I'll be honest with you, I felt...
How's your arm?
Absolutely fine. I felt no side...
What?
Nothing. Absolutely fine. It was a little bit like someone had punched me for the first day and a half, but I didn't feel any other effects. I didn't have a headache. I didn't have any of the stuff. And I spoke to a friend of mine yesterday. He had a terrible time because he got COVID earlier this year and was man down for like 3 or 4 weeks. He was... really struggling, and he's a healthy, fit individual. He's about 8 years younger than me, and it hit him hard. And then when he went for his vaccination, despite having had COVID, you know, some people think, well, you still have to get the vaccine. Well, actually, they figure out that, you know, natural immunity, or once you've got over COVID, having survived it, is way more effective at immunizing you than the vaccine would be. Anyway, he went for the vaccine. And he had a terrible reaction to it. He says it hit him so hard he was down another week. So it's just so bizarre how this thing affects different people. But the only reason I bring it up again is because it's become political, right? So these days, people ask you, have you been vaccinated yet? And if you say no, you can see them looking at you like, oh, this is an anti-vaxxer. Ah, I see. This person is one of those. He's, you know, clearly a right-wing conspiracy theorist, Trump-supporting, gun-toting insurrectionist. That's what they think of you. They think all of those things, right? That's what they think of you. If you just say, no, I haven't got this particular vaccine yet. Oh, well, you know, you're probably the kind of person who wouldn't have got the polio or the measles and mumps and rubella vaccine either, aren't you? You're like, no. That's really not what I'm like. I'm sorry that you've misread me so horribly. And then if you are among the other crowd, you know, the crowd of those people I've just described, then they say, oh, you've fallen in with the herd, hey? You're one of the sheeple. So you just go and get, you just do what everybody tells you to do. You love government authority. Ah, you're falling for the crap. Ah, I can see you're one of those do as you're told non-independent thinkers, and you're clearly just a complete loser. So either way, you're screwed. So I was like, you know what? I have always made up my own mind about everything. I'm not using this as a political thing. It's not important to me. It's not part of my identity. I'm not putting up a selfie of me in the frame going, I've been vaccinated, because that's boring as fuck. And I'm also not one of those people who's going to avoid the conversation if it does come up because I'm embarrassed that I've made a decision. Just, can we all just grow some balls, please? We'll just stand up for ourselves instead of worrying about what group we belong to for 5 minutes, please.
It's too much. Just, in my mind, the two groups of people, and this is very controversial, sorry, not sorry, but the two groups of people are clever and stupid, and let's move on.
Are they clever and stupid? Is that your opinion? So one group is clever and the other group stupid?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I couldn't disagree with you more. As someone who has occupied both groups, I think that's exactly the attitude that leads us into trouble. That's exactly the problem. What you just said now is the problem. Because you think, well, only the vaccinated have their brains, right? The rest are fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. That's what you just said now. Now, I can't say the same. There are people with legitimate... Mm-hmm. Because of attitudes like that, Leanne...
No, of course there are people with legitimate
gripes,
reasons not to get
complaints.
It.
And also... And people who've got very sick, but you can't even talk about that. You can't even talk about the ones who had it and got sick because you get banned from social media and you get called an anti-vaxxer and a conspiracy theorist. It's ridiculous. Attitude is going to lead to a lot of people getting very sick and not understanding and nobody talking about it. So we won't even be allowed to discuss it.
Look, I don't have massively strict opinions about it. I just think, you know, oh my gosh, sorry, there's such lightning. And I, you know, when you've got headphones on.
It's God.
God striking me down.
For saying some people are stupid and others are not. That's what that is.
Leon, you've taken on the personality of like your cat. So I mean, there's nothing lightning can do to you in your house. I love it. No,
dude, I don't have the best streak of luck when it comes to lightning. I've had a few close calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I don't want to dwell on this thing because, as I said to you, it's not an issue to me. I don't consider it part of my identity. But Michael says exactly a thing that a woman on the internet said yesterday. Why do the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use the protection that didn't protect the protected in the first place? And that's
agreed with all of it except for the last few words.
Well, there are a lot of people who think that unless everyone else is vaccinated, they're going to get sick, which means they don't believe that the vaccine worked for them. That's what he's saying.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, we'll leave that alone for a second. There's other stuff going on in the world that we need to be paying attention to. I told you I got one of those standing desks the other day. It's one of those. It's kind of on a set of you've got. It's almost like bicycle brakes that you've got underneath the desktop, and you move it up and down accordingly. And now during the day, I sit there and I do most of my work. Well, I stand there and I do most of my work, and I feel like it's improving my posture. I think it's been one of the best things I've bought. It allows me to be at just the right height for typing and for all these Zoom conferences and things that you're part of now and, you know, meetings online. To me, it makes perfect sense. I can't believe it took me so long to get to this point.
Yeah. And you could even go one up and put it over a treadmill. And that's what I've seen people doing now. So they walk while they work. But I just don't know if I have the coordination for that.
No, I think the other problem with that is they huff and puff, and then you're like, no, please, I can't have someone eating during a meeting, and I also can't have you going on a run while you're in a meeting with me. Just concentrate on the meeting. You're not as
great. No, you stop. You stop before meeting.
Ah, please. You're not as good a multitasker as you think you are.
More people need to hear what you just said.
Yeah.
What you've just said there is so incredibly important. More people need to stop. People are so terrible at focusing.
Yeah.
Just do one thing at a time. I mean, the most relatable example is when I go to a restaurant and the waiter doesn't write my order down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not impressed by that. I'm not impressed by the fact that you can remember my order. Just write it down. Write it down. And then we both know, because when they eventually do bring it back and it's wrong,
I saw
Leanne going into cat mode then.
Yeah, she just went like a cat.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh my God.
I hate lightning.
So this thing about multitasking is women are clearly better at it than men, and most women can do two things at once, whereas most men, and this is perfectly, this is anecdotal through my experience.
And a huge generalization.
Of course
it
is. But generally women are able to, and I don't know where it comes from. Maybe it's because I've seen so many mothers who are driving, putting on lipstick, smacking the kids in the back seat, changing the radio, all that kind of shit all at once. And I just marveled at this stuff because they didn't seem to miss a beat on any of it. Whereas men...
You're obviously referring to a mom from when we grew up.
Yeah, no, because you
were putting on lipstick while she's driving and smacking the kids.
Yeah, that was from
not today's mom.
No, not a chance. But men, like I know for myself, if you want me to concentrate on what you're saying, I actually can't be doing anything else.
Mm.
You'll catch me out every time because I go, huh? I look like I've been distracted, you know.
I was doing some work last night at my mom's house. And she had ENCA on really loudly on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
she was talking to me at the same time, telling me a story, and I was typing an email. And at one point, I realized I could follow all three.
That's amazing. That is amazing. That's a superpower. I can't do that. Not a chance. Sometimes even when I read the comments on the show, I have to like stop and listen to you or Mbulelo or whoever else is on the show, because otherwise I'll miss out on what you're saying because I'm looking at the comments. So
we can tell. You get this kind of glazed over.
Yeah. I get this. All right. So Neil says he's got a standing desk and he uses it as a dope trolley. Neil Moodley. That's nice, Neil. At least, you know, that's kind of multitasking. You're making your desk stand into a multitasking stand. That's very clever.
No, I'm saving for one of those standing desks. I mean, like the whole wellness thing, it's got to be in your whole life, right? Is like I know you're on it now until December.
Sure.
But the standing desk now, the evidence is just compelling. Like if you really, really want to deal with a lot of the aches and pains you've got, is we spend most of our time at work, right?
Yeah,
and you've got to.
You can't be sitting down. I mean, it's so bad for you. If you're sitting down the whole time, it's obviously bad for your posture. It's bad for your health. Blah blah blah. You've got to get your shit together, be a little more organized, and look after yourself.
Yeah. A lot of the problem is having a laptop, because and the way I see it, a laptop is a head and a back. It represents your head and your back, the angle that it's at when you're using it.
I can't multitask, says Elon is God. Even something as simple as sending a voice note while driving, the car ends up on the side of the road. Yeah. Wendy says we can multitask. It's the multi-focus that we can't do. Yeah, that's probably true. Vince says, when I call my girlfriend, she can tell if I'm busy with something else. She says I'm not paying attention. You can even hear it in people's voice. Yeah, I agree with that. I can sometimes hear that too. My psychiatrist, says Carl, is a genius. He tells me all the time that humans cannot do two things at once. Leanne thinks she is, but she's not. She's doing one of those things well and the others badly. Maybe.
It's actually, in terms of neurologically, that's a scientific fact, is that actually you can only do one thing at once. The human brain cannot do more than one thing at once. Even though it feels like you're doing it, is you're constantly shutting off one thing, putting on another. You just don't realize it because you get so good at it. But literally, the brain can only do one thing at a time. That's a hardwired fact. That's not me just saying that.
Well, thank goodness we've got people who can do more things at once, because otherwise we wouldn't have air traffic controllers.
Oh. Well, Freedom Farter says, I think it depends on the tasks. I'm a drummer doing four things at once because I like it and I'm male. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, drummers absolutely, but there's a part of that that's not really, it's not cognitive. It's, you know, the great drummers of the world, they don't think about where the drums are going the whole time. It's a feeling that just kicks in. It's almost instinctive.
It's like driving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I mean,
it's called entering, there's a term for it. It's called entering your flow state, where it feels like you're not working. And once you're in your flow state, it almost feels like you're not doing anything and you're almost floating. And once you enter that element and once you master a craft, I mean, you see these great drummers and pilots and whatever, and whatever it may be, and archers and people like this. Once you enter your flow state, it almost, you don't even feel that you're doing it, that you're so good at it. But there's so much happening. And a guy called Matt Walker, for people that are interested, he's in the neurosciences space, and he speaks about kind of like, what does excellence mean neurologically, actually? Yeah. So he's a really interesting guy, and he talks about all this stuff.
The flow state. I've heard so much about that. That's a very big thing in like Silicon Valley and all of that shit.
Yeah. So I just want to tell you about the flow state while I am sitting in a forest, by the way. The most electric words were said to me by somebody I'm working with here. She lives in a place called Grayton, which is actually closer to Cape Town, but it's very similar to where I am now, you know?
Yeah.
And there's literally a woman in Grayton who's a witch.
A witch?
Like literally. Yeah. No, literally. She's a witch, and she invites everybody over to kind of practice spells and have Wow. Yeah, like those evenings, and I found it incredible.
She's a witch.
She was telling me everything. Yeah, her name. Let me not say the lady's name because Gracie's tiny. But yeah,
well, because people go and burn her because we still live, you know, we're still quite medieval.
When I lived in McGregor is actually Grayton's neighboring town, but there's no road that links us.
Yes,
it's just a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk it. It's a trail.
Yeah, I've run over the mountain both ways. It's an awesome trail, yeah.
And we in McGregor knew of this lady in Creighton. Yeah, I know she exists.
You knew of the witch. That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's incredible.
That's great.
And it's just normal. And the way she was talking about it, it wasn't like, oh, my God, guys, I need to tell you something. There's a lady's a witch. No, she's like, yeah, no, there's this lady's a witch. And then, you know, like, and then I went and bought mangoes. I was like, whoa, what do you mean?
A witch.
You were like, sweet, hidey mangoes.
It reminds me of that line. I think it's from either Blackadder or from Monty Python, where the guy goes, two things should ye know about the wise woman. First, she is a woman. Second, she is wise.
It's Blackadder. And so Blackadder says to that guy, he's like, oh, yeah, stop that nonsense. I'm a local. You don't have to talk like that.
I want to meet this witch.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk to an actual witch.
Meaning, it's incredible.
Mm. McGregor is fabulous, says Sweet Pea. Grayton is overrated. Okay. I've never been to either.
There were those trains of thought.
Yeah.
The McGregor is still quite raw compared to Grayton. Grayton can be a little bit overdone in some people's opinions. But McGregor is like this raw, functioning little town. We had everything except a doctor.
Well, that's kind of important. Then it's not functioning if you don't have a doctor. I mean, even ancient villages. I mean, even if you have a witch, you should have a doctor, for God's sake.
Just the one thing we were lacking. We had everything else.
So for those who haven't been to McGregor, like places like that immediately, especially now, like I came through George for the first time, and I stayed in George for a couple of hours for the very first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately my mind thought Devil's Door. Because, you know, like a small towny, that whole vibe. And everything I saw, I thought the devil lives here. And if he's not living here, he's certainly on his way.
Lawrence wants to know, does that witch have a crooked nose, warts, and a broom?
Of course. You can't be a witch without those.
You're not a real witch. You're a fake witch.
Yeah.
Okay, some headlines. Let's look at what's going on in the headlines. First of all, New York's public library is going to eliminate all late fees. Thank God. I took out some books there back in, I don't know, 2001. I've been worried the whole time. So its president, Anthony W. Marks, I don't know if I like that surname for a public institution, they said late fees were an ineffective way of encouraging people to return books. Under the old policy, cardholders who had over $15 in fines would have their cards blocked and access to the library revoked. The city's library collected over $3 million in fees in 2019 alone. New late fee charges were suspended in 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic, but now they will be permanently eliminated. For those who can afford the fines, they're barely an incentive. For those who can't afford the fines, disproportionately low-income New Yorkers, they become a real barrier to access that we can no longer accept.
So what are they going to do? Just let people walk off with their books?
Exactly. That's what's
going to. There has to be some kind of measure.
It's like this. It's like this moron, this ignoramus that I interviewed, and we played out the interview yesterday. I got some really interesting reactions from people. If you didn't listen to it, Derica Purnell, she's a Harvard law graduate, a doctorate in law is what she's got, and she's got this idea that if we abolish the police, everything will be better. And it took me exactly 12 minutes to get her to realize she'd lost the argument and quit the interview. And you'll want to listen to this if you haven't heard it already. I mean, if this doesn't prove once and for all that these people have no idea, all they know is to break things, to destroy things, to change rules to suit themselves, but they have no idea what to replace it with. they never have any better vision of the future. Their vision of the future means destroy what we've got at the moment. It's what we call the Chesterton fence idea. If there's a fence built between two fields, and someone comes along and goes, well, we've got to break that fence. The first thing anybody should ask is, have we found out why they built the fence in the first place? Because if we haven't, it would be stupid to break it for no good reason. And the same goes for the New York Public Library, because now what you're going to have is homeless people coming in, taking out a book, and then using it for fuel to make a fire. No, seriously, you're going to have, because this is what happens with people. We know what people are like. They're going to use it for fuel, and then they're not going to be charged a late fee. They're going to be allowed to come into the library 100 times, and some, you know, good-natured, tree-hugging, die-hard liberal at the counter of the New York Public Library, because who else would work at the counter of the New York Public Library, is going to go, oh, it's so lovely that homeless person comes in and keeps borrowing books by Jane Eyre. I mean, what's her name? The author of Jane Eyre.
Daniel Steele, though. Daniel Steele, all-time love story writer. Jane Austen.
Yeah. No, that's so nice that homeless man keeps on borrowing these great English classics. Meanwhile, the homeless man's burning them for fuel outside. He's using them to warm his hands and his gloves with the fingers cut off. You know those ones?
Yeah.
Idiots. I remember telling you about a store that had opened in my suburb where there was no one in attendance. You could just go in and put your money in the honesty box.
Yes.
Or even just put in how much you thought it was worth.
Yeah.
And that irritated you, I remember.
It irritates me because people, they're dishonest. Like, you've got to have a very real sense of what humanity is. And I always vacillate between humans are great and they do great things on one side, and then humans are complete primal shitheads on the other. And they always do the wrong thing given an option. And you've got to be aware of the parameters. If you think humans are always good, you're going to get burnt really badly, and life is going to be very hard for you. And if you think humans are completely shit, you're going to be so cynical you'll never have a meaningful relationship, you'll never have joy, you'll never experience the best of life. You've got to have both.
It's why rules are so important, because if you leave it up to every individual how they feel, and it's something we've discussed a lot on here, and I know you kind of oscillate, Gareth, on this, and I've never got Leanne's take, is that's why I always defer to rules. Objectivity is important so that we both know, right, what the middle ground is. You often hear people say, I feel like, I say, no, I don't care how you feel. Let's come to the middle.
Well,
I really don't care how you feel.
So I'm glad that we're on this, because that was exactly the point with this Derica Purnell woman yesterday. And please, if you haven't seen the interview, the actual interview is probably about 12 to 15 minutes. But I've added an addendum because I did so much fucking work preparing for this thing. I should have got a doctorate from Harvard for the amount of research that I did in order to, and I, honestly, this is to prepare for like a half hour, 40 minute interview with somebody. And what ended up happening? She drops the call because she has no argument. I mean, listen, within the first 10 minutes, I could tell it was one of these. She is one of these people who's got ahead because guilt-complexed white people at Harvard University have seen a black woman who comes from a disadvantaged background or whatever, where she told the story about her mother, and they're like, well, let's give her a degree because that'll make her whole life better. What you're doing, first of all, you're patronizing her. You're not testing her to the limits that she should be tested. If she's going to get a degree from Harvard, she better be smart at arguing. She was not. And all you've done now is you've discredited her, embarrassingly, in an interview which is going to be on the internet forever. You've discredited everyone else with a doctorate in law from Harvard because they all sound as stupid as she is. And you've made a mockery of your institution. So congratulations. I know that what you intended to do was to make it look like Harvard is churning out female black graduates at a rate that they're not. All you've done in the end is made it harder for black people. Congratulations, you liberal whites at Harvard. You've fucked up yet again.
It is a pain point. I think the world is struggling with that. And I do see it in South Africa quite a bit where so personally, I find it extremely insulting that you make it easier for black people.
Yeah, it's outrageously insulting. And those people are not your friends. If you're a black person and you've ever encountered those kinds of white people, you know what you're dealing with. You're dealing with people where it's actually all about them.
Yeah, and again, I don't care how you feel. We all need to go through the struggle of trying to find the balance. And the recent past of South Africa and the world is awful. Like the slavery things, that's an awful thing. And it's almost like people want to cheat time. Is that let's just deal with 400 years of angst. Let's deal with it in 20 years. Let's do it like that. Sorry, that's not the game. We're going to have to go through the friction of exactly what the middle is, and that's going to take some time. And the way to do it is not to lower the bar for black people. No. I get absolutely sick. And in fact, it's an interesting thing that you're bringing up there, Gareth. I can't wait to watch the interview when I get back. Is that, in fact, I've gotten to a point where, number one, I'm now anxious to actually hire middle-class black kids because they come with the attitude already that because I'm black, you're going to look after me and you're going to let me get away with stuff, right? Mm. not this guy here. But another interesting thing is when I do hire black kids, I want to be very honest, right? I'm harder on black kids now than I would be on any other skin color. If you're black, I'm going to be extra hard on you because I need to, because already some of this entitlement, and I sense it, and I have to say...
But this is not on them. Bulelo, this is not on them. It's not on them. They, unfortunately, someone like this, Derica Purnell, you could see she's never been put in a position where she had to challenge herself. She's never had to be better than this, because for the people who were pushing her and thought that they were doing her a favor, they never challenged her beyond her comfort zone. They never said to her, let's have an objective discussion about these things, which doesn't involve your feelings, because I don't want to put you in a position where you're stretched. You know, I would that it makes me feel guilty. So instead of her rising above her expectations or the expectations others have of her, she just stays here. And it's acceptable because, shame, we'll create a different set of standards for her. That's the worst kind of racism.
So listen, for me, I've always said to you, everything's your fault. So everybody must take their part in whatever, right? That it is partly on her. I just want to say this, is that for me, is because she's never been disabused of these terrible ideas, and I see it in black middle-class kids coming through now from the private schools, exactly what you're talking about. I'm going to disabuse you of that because it's never happened for you before. I'm going to be the one to disabuse you of that. And if you don't like it, there's the door. Good luck with the rest of your black Twitter friends.
Well, when you say that, you see it gets a different reaction to when a white person says it. And because they can't really accuse you. They'll try. They'll accuse you of racism. They'll say that. Well, what are you, Mbulelo?
What a coconut.
Yeah, you're coconut. You're trying to be white or whatever, which is, again...
You said captured. Yeah,
comes from the same people, right? Anyway, let's just move on because this can go on forever and ever. A Pick and Pay customer was shocked after realizing he bought pies worth 495 Rand.
Oh.
Yes.
But was not on purpose.
A Durban man was horrified after realizing he bought steak and kidney pies worth 495 Rand. Detailing the incident at his Facebook page, Kajal Rahman says he went to Pick and Pay on Tuesday and was shocked when he saw his till slip after purchasing his goodies. He only realized after. He bought two pies and only realized afterwards, huh? For 495 is a lot for two pies. Genius.
They must have been enormous.
Yeah.
They certainly weren't mama's pies.
So it shows, the sticker shows, that the 495 price is for 22 items, whereas this guy only wanted to buy two. So that's hilarious. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we need Isabel Jones to rise from the dead and help us defend.
I went to Pick and Pay recently and I bought a yellow pepper, one single. It was the biggest yellow pepper I've ever seen in my life, and I just thought, this feed me for a week. So I go up to the till and the lady looks, she rings it up and weighs it, and she says, No. She says, this yellow pepper, it's 30 Rand. It's a waste of money. Please,
oh, really?
Please.
Okay. Yeah.
I ended up not buying it just to appease her.
Yeah. Just by the way, we mentioned earlier Jane Eyre. It's actually one of the Brontes. I think Charlotte Bronte. Someone's just corrected us. That's what I was thinking of, but I couldn't remember the name. There was Emily and Charlotte and one other one. three Bronte sisters. None of them, I don't think any of them ever had a happy relationship. Didn't they all stay spinsters until old age? Something like that. Very sad.
Yeah.
These three spinsters all living together, crocheting or whatever it was that they did in those days. All right.
To me, that sounds fantastic, but yes.
So just check your prices on your items, you know. I mean, I can't believe I have to say this to grown adults, but there we go.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, like, potatoes have doubled in price since the beginning of the year. So things have changed. The world's changed.
It is. It's going to be Desmond Tutu's 90th birthday. 90 years old.
I saw all the celebrations yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was his birthday yesterday. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
The jovial Tutu, who even today speaks out against injustice, attended a special Thanksgiving service at St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town, where he was appointed South Africa's first black Anglican archbishop. He's, of course, a Nobel Prize winner, a peace laureate. He's been dubbed the moral compass of the nation. And it started off the service with happy birthday. He was wearing his trademark purple shirt with white collar and a black suit. He waved in acknowledgement. He's in a wheelchair. He sat next to his wife, Leah. Tributes and well wishes for the revered anti-apartheid icon have poured in from presidents, individuals, and organizations around the globe. And he really has spoken out. This man is brave. He's spoken out against our own government when he thought that they were in the wrong. And he's spoken out against the previous government when he thought they were in the wrong. And he's spoken out against the powerful Chinese government when they wouldn't allow his friend the Dalai Lama in. He said that that was a moment where South Africa lost its moral capital. He's a brave man. He's an intelligent man. He's a heartfelt, warm, kind, thoughtful human being. And even though he's an old man now and doesn't really partake in much of the political dialogue or in much of the social intercourse in this country, he's still around, and we should be grateful that someone like him is there, because we are better with him than we would be without him. And at 90,
don't mess with my tutu.
At 90, I hope he has a few more years and a few more good years. Right. Okay. You want more, or is that enough in the headline space? I think we've probably got enough there.
Yeah.
No need to.
I think we've done well.
Yeah. Okay. That's that part done. We don't need to carry on. We've got someone called Dr. Alison Bentley, who's going to join us later. She is a sleep expert and has been seeing patients with sleep problems, both adults and children, on and off for the last 30 years. So we'll find out about the importance of sleep, the positive effects.
And the sleeping, we can ask her about the sleeping Jesus.
We can. We can find out what the results of not getting enough sleep are. Sleep apnea is an important part of that, Leanne, as you indicate. Also, sleepwalking and the strange things people can do while they're sleepwalking, because she knows all about that too, as well as other sleeping disorders. So if you have any questions on that front, let us know. And we will
She'll know about hypnagogia as well.
Yes.
Which is fascinating.
Yes. So this is interesting. A new study has revealed that the evolutionary reason why women feel colder than men is actually easy to understand, and Leanne Moll is going to help us understand this, because...
I know the answer. Their hearts. Their hearts are cold. Women's hearts are
cold. I thought you were going to be serious for a second. No, so apparently women are... They feel, even if they are, you know, our body temperatures, we're the same species... Yeah, there's no reason why we should have different circulatory effects. But there is an evolutionary reason why women feel colder than men. And what is it? If you're asking me, I don't know, but Leanne knows.
So it comes down to, and the way they've worked this out is, you know, we know quite often you might be in an office scenario and a man's wearing short sleeves in the air-conditioned office.
Mm.
And you're like, where's my jersey? Or you always carry a jersey around with you.
Yes.
And it extends beyond humans. If you look at bats, birds, some mammals, the males prefer cooler places and the females prefer warmer places.
Mm-hmm.
And this sometimes evolutionary has a role to play in separating the sexes during breeding, different times of the season. When it's breeding season, they want them together, and when it's not, they're apart. So, for example, entire colonies of bats in a cave mm-hmm. are composed of only males during the breeding season, and in the warmer areas you'll see only females. And the females are busy giving birth and raising their pups. Where do they want to be? In warmer environments. So it's got a lot to do with maternal instinct mm-hmm. and reproduction.
Bolelo, so, the sun is right in my eyes here. I can't see because Bolelo's like it's too warm for me. Now all I can see is
an angle.
I can see the outline of your head and nothing else.
I am trying to find an angle. I'll fix it in the break so we can be professionals.
So basically, it's because women or females or mothers in particular want to keep their young warm, so they always feel a bit colder, so they're much more sensitive to cold. Is that it? You're on mute.
Oh, boy.
No, Leanne, you're on mute.
And then I had to change windows, so it took a while.
Oh.
You don't want to have a mom who's running hot, thinking, oh, my God, the baby must be so hot, and leaving it half-dressed, you know? So it really, it makes very sense on a very basic level.
So, yeah, I mean, I've often, I've found that, like, especially in summer, first of all, I spend most nights sleeping on my own, so I can regulate my own temperature. But when I've slept with someone, she usually is colder than I am. And maybe that
her putting her cold feet on your leg.
Yeah, exactly. And that's maybe also why women always steal the blankets and you end up with none as a man. Right?
Don't know. Yeah.
This is very interesting.
This is interesting. This tells us a lot. Now, what happens, says Carl, with a woman who identifies as a man? Will she or he feel cold and warm? Fucking 2021. That's exactly right, Carl. Yeah. Nonsense as well.
I love that.
lots of people commenting on the halo that was behind Bolelo's head just now when we were talking about this this woman being colder than men thing. Someone saying you suddenly turned into Jesus.
Yeah.
And you had a halo. Yeah. Keep the sunrise. It's glorious, says Beth. Beth, go outside and see your own. You don't need it to be on the show.
Gareth, what the hell?
Go outside and see your own. Really? For God's sake.
Oh, dear.
No. And then Michael saying, I knew there was actually a black man behind that blinding light.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Here we go, man.
Ta-da. All right. So apart from the sleep expert, which is going to be the next hour of the show, we've also got Borge Meany, who's going to be joining us, Leanne's favorite.
Oh, Borge.
Borge, exactly. Our podcast of the week is actually about Borge, because on this week's Auto Central show, George Meany and his co-host, Wandi Lasishi, highlight some bad driving habits that have made a negative impact on your car's ability to survive the daily grind. So here are some interesting things. You can go and listen to the podcast. It's Auto Central. It's every Monday on cliffcentral.com at 9 a.m. or the podcast wherever you listen, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever. Auto Central, this week's episode, will help you highlight the bad driving habits that may have had a negative impact on your car. Right.
Good. Like crashing. Don't crash, basically. Oh, no.
It's definitely the Rona. It's definitely the Rona.
Oh, my
Do you remember
God.
When we started this coronavirus malarkey last year in March? And Nicki Minaj was still going, coronavirus! Coronavirus! Mm. Was it Nicki Minaj or was it...
No, it was the stripper lady.
It was
the stripper lady.
Yes. What's her goddamn name? Man, she...
The WAP lady.
WAP, that's right.
No, what's her name? She sings the song. Anyway, fine, her, the stripper. You know who I'm talking about.
Yes,
her.
Man.
Yeah.
What? Why are we struggling so much with her name?
Cardi B.
Cardi B. Jesus, how long did that take us?
We are so old.
That's the problem.
We are so old.
Where is coronavirus? You remember I used to play it all the time.
Coronavirus.
That's it.
Coronavirus.
That's it.
Yeah.
What is this goddamn thing?
And now you've got it. So it's come full circle.
Now I need to hear it. Here we go.
Coronavirus! Coronavirus! I'm telling you, shit is real! Shit is getting real! Guess what, bitch?
Coronavirus! I love it. All right, there she is, Cardi B. Gee, why did I think it was Nicki? How horrible of me. Lots of people coming up with Cardi B, and then Elon has got his Cardiff B.
I think it was a typo, but I must say I enjoyed the comment earlier, mm-hmm. which reduced the Hardy Boys to nothing with one typo, where she typed the Hardly Boys.
Oh, that's great. All right, well, any exciting plans for the weekend before we take a quick break? Anything exciting happening besides, obviously, Mbulelo is going to be at the Otter Trail until, when do you come back, Monday?
Sunday evening, yeah, okay. So I'll be back in studio on all Monday.
Right. You, Leanne?
I'm starting a new job on Monday.
Ooh.
Oh.
So I'm quite excited about that.
Yes.
I've had to do things like find something to wear that doesn't resemble shorts or sweats.
Right.
I'm going to have to fill up my car with petrol.
Hmm.
Just all these normal things. Think about what to pack for. It's a night shift, so what to pack for dinner.
You know.
What are you doing for work? Sorry. Is it the journalism job?
I haven't signed a contract yet, so all will be revealed once I've signed a contract. But it is going back to my roots, back into a newsroom.
Wow.
I'll be sub-editing, so it's exciting. I've got a passion for it.
But it's not going to interfere with you being on the show?
No.
That's all I care about.
I'm going to become a night owl, although I always have been.
Okay, no, that's good. Because, you know, people get nervous. You say you got a new job, and they're, oh, Leanne's going to leave us again. And they get separation anxiety.
No, so, it means I'll actually have 4 or 5 jobs, you know.
Yeah.
Just a girl out there hustling.
That's right. Gig economy. somebody says when we played Cardi B, we found the witch. Because that's how a witch sounds. That's so funny. Yeah. Lawrence says, Kelly, I have a small collection of occult books because Kelly says there are plenty of different witches out there, not just the cartoon kind. There are green witches, crystal witches, cottage or kitchen witches. What the hell is a cottage or kitchen witch?
What? They're actually, what?
People trying to connect with nature and themselves.
What a lot of shit.
Yeah, well said.
Corona's Boring admits that she or he stole the Hardly Boys from Trey Park. I think it's brilliant.
Okay.
Still.
I like it. All right, when we come back, we will do everything, including find out what you need to know about sleep. So we've got a sleep expert joining us in a short while. That doesn't mean you can fall asleep. It's Friday morning. The whole weekend is ahead of you. It's a lovely day. Mbulelo is in the Tsitsikamma Forest. Leanne is at her dirty and messy desk, and I'm at my very organized desk, and we want to have you join us for the next hour, so don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com, good morning. CliffCentral.com.